Welcome back to another edition of the Savvy Citizen Podcast. I'm Adam Gobb. Today on the show, we're talking with two members of the Teen Action Council, along with one of their advisors, Lauren Radford, from the Gaston County Public Health Department, talking about a Surgeon General report that came out in 2023, talking about negative mental health effects of social media. And who better to talk to than the teens themselves, who are going to tell us about their use of social media and their reactions to the report. Stay tuned. Did you know Gaston County has a support survivor group for victims of domestic violence? It meets weekly on Thursday afternoons with no-cost childcare available upon request. The group focuses on building self-esteem, understanding needs and desires, practicing assertiveness skills, and learning about positive, nurturing relationships. Call the Hope United Survivor Network at 704-862-6783 for more information and to sign up. All right, so we're here on another edition of Savvy Citizen, and we've got a great group of guests today. We're talking about social media, and this is we've got a couple of experts here. We've got a couple teens with us, and we've got Lauren Radford, who's with the health department and works with the Teen Action Council over in Gaston County's Public Health Department. So I'm going to have everybody kind of introduce themselves, and Lauren, I'm going to start with you, actually, and talk about kind of what you do broadly at the health department and then your role with the TAC.
Thank you, Adam. So like you said, my name's Lauren Radford. I'm a health educator for Gaston County Public Health, and I wear a few different hats. So I help with leading our tobacco role for Gaston County. I'm one of our Teen Action Council leaders, as well as a liaison with Gaston County Schools with health education programs within the schools. So lots of different hats and lots of different fun things.
Awesome.
My name is Marissa, and I'm a member of Teen Action Council, and I go to Gaston Early College Medical Sciences.
Nice.
My name is Autumn. I'm vice president of Teen Action Council. I also go to Gaston Early College of Medical Sciences.
So is the Teen Action Council, is that something where you only serve for a year, or can you serve for multiple years?
So they have the opportunity to reapply each year. Ideally, we try and get them around sophomore year. So I think for some of them, it is going to be their second or third year. For both of them, I think it is their second year.
So what did you like about it, and what made you decide to come back?
I really like that we were able to advocate for teens in our county.
Hmm.
Especially being a teen yourself, I feel like we're very passionate about addressing certain situations.
Right. And it's often like hard for teens to really talk about these topics. So like, I liked the aspect of we can talk about this and it's okay to talk about some of these things. It's not awkward all the time.
So we're talking today about social media. There was a report put out by the U.S. Surgeon General last year that really dove into some of the things that I think maybe people already knew or suspected, which is just the impact that social media can have on health and mental health in particular. So I wanted to start with our two experts, our teens, and ask you both kind of how much you use social media, and we'll start from there.
Every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say that, but it's every day. It's all the time. It literally just consumes us.
I'm sorry. I didn't catch that. I was scrolling Instagram.
Right.
No, yeah. I use like Instagram, TikTok, you know, Snapchat like every day. So
is it something that it becomes a way of almost like a secondary social network where it's like you obviously connect with people at school or people outside of school in your neighborhood or your church or any social groups, but then also it's a different way to connect with your friends too, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's what I mainly use it for, is like talking to friends, you know, connecting with people that I haven't talked to in a while.
So having a pair of females here is definitely, I feel good to be able to speak to the negative consequences of kind of what I think a lot of people see on social media, which is everybody's always putting their best stuff out there and making it seem like their life is perfect. And it's, you know, the glam shots for Instagram and for Snapchat and different things like that. How much of an issue is that? How much pressure is there to basically make it look like you've got everything together and everything's going great?
Yeah, I think it's a huge issue. Like, especially like as like you said, like as a female, like we're given this like stereotype of what we're supposed to look like and how we're supposed to act because that's what's put out on social media. And that's not reality. That's not who we are.
Anything that you've experienced personally with social media that you'd be willing to share about things that have been good or bad about it?
There's like a lot of people who can like comment stuff and they like, you know, are really rude sometimes, like people you don't even know. And so you'll get comments sometimes that are just not very nice.
Right. And like definitely like agreeing with that. And there's also like overly nice comments. Like you'll post a picture on Instagram and like you look like so pretty and like so skinny, like it's been edited and filtered. Mm. And then they're like, oh my God, like you're so pretty. Like, oh my God, I want to be you. And like in person, like people don't act or talk like that.
Right. Well, it's and it's both ends of the spectrum, right? Like people would never be that mean in person. Right. And they would never say that sort of stuff positively in person, right, either. There's it kind of takes the two extremes. What do you think is the biggest frustration that you have with social media? What's the thing that maybe makes you dislike it the most?
Well, like with regarding TikTok, like it takes up a lot of your time, mm-hmm, and you don't even notice it. You know, hours can pass by and you're just scrolling and scrolling and you don't even know. And like once you take a step back, you realize how, you know, kind of toxic TikTok is, because it like doesn't like put good things into your mind. You know, you're always focusing on someone else.
Which is interesting, because it's like during the Super Bowl, TikTok spent a lot of money, obviously buying some ads, basically saying like, oh, like there's a guy whose son died because of drunk driving. And so he uses TikTok as like an influencer to tell people about drunk driving. And while I'm sure that that's true and he's had a good experience with it, it seems like they're trying to combat the, like you said, like just hours of scrolling and scrolling and a lot of it being just kind of mindless sort of stuff, right? Lauren, what have you guys done with the Teen Action Council over the years? Because obviously social media has been a growing presence in everyone's lives over the last 15-ish years.
So we have a Instagram that we use for Teen Action Council to put information out there, as well as work with the Teen Wellness Center and put out, you know, hopefully positive information about services, as well as like things around mental health and substance use and reproductive health, which is our main three committees that we try and focus on. Because like sort of Autumn said, it's something that's sort of hush hush, not always talked about as much.
Sure.
So we definitely try and put out information, and it also does in a positive way. It helps us sometimes get new TAC members interested. We do go to the schools for applications and whatnot, but that Teen Action Council social media can help with that as well as like providing the link tree with other links and whatnot out there for them, for the resources and assistance as needed. But I will say it's interesting because you want to use it, but then you also don't want that to be like the main focus of TAC, but because
right,
it does have its goods and bads.
So it's definitely like that kind of double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And we definitely, like last year, we're trying to like look at doing TikToks and things. And, you know, that's like a fine line as well. It's like what we can do and what we can't. And like
right. How
much time do we want to devote to social media as opposed to like actual in-person, you know, events and activities.
Well, and there are so many different, you know, companies and even government agencies that try to reach teens. So I'm gonna knock on some of my fellow communicators here. There was the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department did a whole campaign just a few months ago about like fentanyl, and they've got they've got billboards, and maybe you've seen them, where it's like they're trying to talk to teens, and they're using like cap and sus and like basically like old people trying to be cool. And it's like I looked at that, and they like I still cringe every time I see it, because it's like I'm nearly 40 and it's like, I would never try to be cool. Like that's just like, I wasn't cool in high school. I'm not going to be cool now. Like, why are we trying to?
And like, they're going to make fun of you. Like the teens are going to make fun of the ads, and it's not going to get through to them.
Exactly. I mean, it's just going to become a joke rather than like the point, which is like trying to get through to people about how dangerous, you know, fentanyl can be. So it's like, it's this fine line of like trying to be where people are talking about stuff and also like not being made fun of or not, you know, being seen as like not legit, I guess.
We definitely utilize the Teen Action Council for things like that too, like getting that teen voice out there and getting their opinions. And going back on fentanyl, we're getting ready to sort of start working on this next meeting, a substance use video to go with the lessons that we do with the schools, and working with, you know, Narcan information, how it's used, and, you know, what experience they've had with schools and or just around teens, around the opioid use and fentanyl and the Good Samaritan law and like how that works with teens. Mm. And so all those different aspects. But we definitely think it's important that you have that teen voice, which is one of the main things TAC can do to help. And, you know, as adults, we have the funds or we have the things, you know, projects we want to do. But you really want to get their opinions when they're the focus of that project.
For the two of you, what have been some of the favorite things that you've gotten a chance to work on in last year and then in this year on TAC?
My personal favorite thing was we went to the Gaston County Department of Health and Human Services, mm-hmm. and we did a presentation on vaping and tobacco use, and specifically with the T21 law and how that impacts us teens, because you can still get tobacco at 18 here.
Right.
Like, I don't know, it really showed like the change we're making going to these adult members of our community who are held like at a higher standard.
Yeah.
And like they respect us and they listen to us and they care about what we're trying to do here. That just really was nice.
We went and spoke with the board for DHHS and to get their support for the T21 law that has not been passed yet. And I know that was last year that we were able to do that, but just to get that, you know, county add-in, because they have other counties that they want to, when they bring this to the state level, you know, show the importance of it and how many counties support the T21 law, which is mainly to move North Carolina's tobacco laws to 21, just like the federal laws, as well as have the support of possible like ALE or some kind of a grouping that is regulating the smoke shops and things like that that are not being done currently.
Are there any states that have moved that tobacco law to 21?
There are some, and a good bit of them. But okay. North Carolina, of course, being a tobacco state, sometimes falls a little behind on things like that. But hopefully we're moving in the right direction.
Anything on your end that you feel particularly proud of or that you guys accomplished with TAC that you were like, wow, I didn't think that we would be able to do something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Autumn. Like, going to that board meeting was fun. And we also go to our schools, and we go one-on-one with like the students like during lunchtime, and we talk to them about like stuff regarding, you know, sexual health, mental health, and it's really cool seeing how we can impact them and like teach them stuff.
So going back to the conversation on social media, you talked about how you're both obviously social media users. Does seeing a report like this talking about the negative effects about the mental health, does it make you evaluate your social media use? Does it change it at all? Or is it just something that's kind of there now in the back of your mind that like, hey, this could be harming my mental health?
I feel like it's always in the back of the mind, but I feel like social media is such a big thing today that you can't really take it out of your life completely.
Mm. Like you would be so far off the grid that like you would be excluded from stuff.
Yeah.
Well, not so much. I mean, yeah, I agree with that. But also like this is our life. Like this is like the way of life we know, you know, like taking like that's like a big part of our lives, like taking that away from us. Like, what are we supposed to do?
Right.
I mean, I sound dumb saying that. I sound like one of these teens it's talking about. But like it's always in the back of my mind. Like I personally know my limits and I know how much is too much. But I agree. Not everybody knows that. And that's why it's damaging to mental health and things like that. It's just kind of like taking this knowledge and knowing like this could be bad for me and then just choosing what to and what not to do.
Well, it's almost like, I mean, when you're talking about like healthy eating, like it's not like you can never have ice cream or something like that. It's right. Basically just like you probably shouldn't have ice cream for breakfast every day. So, I mean, maybe social media is some of the same way. It's like, you know, in moderation or just being aware of kind of how it's affecting you mentally and like maybe the thoughts it's causing you to have. I mean, that can be at least helpful, I think. What are some of the other things that TAC has worked on over the years, Lauren, and what else do you have kind of on tap this year?
So we always do a big, it's called Chocolate and Condoms event around reproductive health. And that can also sort of tie into like harm reduction, making sure, you know, we understand the importance of like setting your boundaries, knowing your limits, what's the age of consent, and how to use condoms correctly, and, you know, how to have healthy relationships. So it sort of goes over all those things. And another event we did recently was the Coping with Cookies event, which was around mental health. And that sort of goes into the same aspect of it all ties in together for the teens, like full health experience. And I'm trying to think. Another thing we have coming up would be our teen wellness days at the schools that we work with Gaston County Schools, and we go in during their lunch times, and we give the teens there their different resources for assistance or just knowledge on different information for them. We do fishbowl questions where they, you know, the TAC comes up with different questions they think pertain more to what the teens need to know or would want to know. And give them, you know, the resources and information on how to be a part of TAC and, you know, being involved within their community more. So just trying to, you know, sort of get the teens involved within Gaston County and yes, I'm just as bad with my phone and like wanting, like that's my source of information.
Yeah.
And so I'm with you on like that we use the phones, but understanding like that structure of like, okay, how much is too much and knowing like what is my self-control levels.
Well, it's like this idea of whether it's you're using, you know, Twitter or Threads and you're doom scrolling or you're just overindulging in, you know, stuff where it's like you're projecting your own kind of self-image on what you're seeing on social media. You can just go down that rabbit hole so quickly. I mean, I'm obviously showing my age here, but like social media wasn't a thing when I was in high school. Like MySpace was just coming up and then Facebook started when I was in college. And so like this idea of everything is everywhere. Like something happens at school and somebody takes a video of it and it's viral like that. And like all your friends are talking about it within 20 minutes. Whereas like, you know, back in the day when I was, you know, going to school with the dinosaurs, you know, it all had to spread through word of mouth or whatever. I mean, gosh, like texting was still new back then. Oh, geez. I'm going to start talking about typewriters here in a minute.
Yeah, that's one of those things with the chocolate and condoms event that we do too, is like talking about like what are the restriction laws? Like when you talk about texting and sending pictures or videos and, you know, things getting shared and like the reputation and all those things that weren't, you know, as much of an issue 15 years ago, but now it's, you know, it's so easy.
Yeah.
And it's hard sometimes to have that forethought as to what am I doing and is this going to be okay or am I setting myself up for failure?
Right. Basically, once it's out there, it's really hard to take it back.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else about kind of what you looked at in terms of the recommendations from the Surgeon General's report or just anything that any of you have learned about social media that you feel like would be good to share?
For me, one thing I just thought about is when I'm scrolling my TikTok like I do, sometimes, I guess, I don't know the time frame. Maybe it's 30 minutes in, something like that. There'll be a video pop up and saying like, do you need to take a break?
Oh, wow.
So I think that's nice, like that TikTok at least has that.
Mm-hmm.
Do I take the break? Usually not.
Yeah.
But it's a good way of like, oh, maybe I have been on here for a while.
I feel like video game consoles did that too, not long ago, mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, you've been playing for a while. Maybe go outside and get some fresh air.
I know Netflix does it too. Like if you've been watching like a show for a while.
Are you still watching?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
It's like, yes, I'm binging. Leave me alone.
Yeah, that's definitely helpful, but I do kind of scroll past that. But I like the initiative.
Right. Yeah. At least it's there. It's like, oh, okay. I've been on here for X amount of time now.
Right. But like I said, I can make my own limits on myself. Like I know you can give yourself screen time. You can say like, I know,
sure.
We have a friend who's also an attacker. Her name is Sadie. She literally gives herself like 15, 20 minutes on TikTok a day.
Wow.
And then after that, she can't get on TikTok. So you can do stuff like that. Like in your settings on your iPhone, you can do that. But personally, I'm just like, if my phone is overheating, I'm done.
Ah.
I got to put that down, you know, but also like, just knowing like, okay, I have this much work to do. Like it's already 7 o'clock in the evening. Let me just stop. Let me go spend time with my family. Let me do something else. Let me go outside. Like, let's not.
Yeah, I agree. But I feel like when you're younger, it's harder because you're not at that mature level that we are where we know our limits and we know when to stop. Like if you're young, if you're like, you know, under the age of 10 and you're on social media, you know, your parents are the ones that are supposed to regulate, you know, your social media intake. And sometimes they don't really do that. So you're like going onto social media every single day with no limits and it creates, you know, bad habits.
Yeah, that's definitely something, you know, that we work with the schools on trying to do, like whether it's PTO nights or just parent information. And it's tough because sometimes it's, you know, how do you reach the parents that aren't going to come to those kind of things?
Right.
Because that sometimes is the situation where if you've been given that structure of like, okay, these are like my to-do list for the day or these are the things, it makes it easier to know how to limit yourself because you ideally don't want to have to, as a parent, restrict your child because a lot of times, as y'all know, as teens, that's going to just cause a battle. You want to be able to do it to yourself, you know, but it does start at home. And so maybe like having parent education more often could be something, and maybe even like a teen voice to the parents.
Right.
If maybe they don't know a lot about social media.
Ultimately, like it's starting much younger too.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you just said, like back in your day, you didn't have this. Like think
right.
about now, like these kids in 2023, we call them iPad kids.
Yeah.
There's like little 4 or 5 year olds that literally are obsessed with their iPads. They won't get away from it.
Yep.
Like think about when they're our age, they're going to be worse than we are. And they're going to have more technology than we do. And they're just going to be more and more and more obsessed with it. And they're not even going to have a life.
Yeah. My daughter's 9 and definitely like has her own favorite channels that she watches on YouTube. And like, I mean, her in kindergarten, that was the pandemic year for her. And so like basically almost all of it was virtual and like on the computer. It's like she's grown up with that sort of technology and just like that's normal to her.
Right.
Yeah. My 2-year-old, they both have iPads and my 2-year-old knows how to, it's wild to watch them like know so quickly, like how to maneuver it. But once again, at home, if you're creating that structure as to like this, these are the specific things you can get on. These are X, Y, Z. It does make it easier as they develop. So maybe, you know, having that structure is something we can share with other parents and things, because you're right. If the child's never been shown that and then they're going to school and they're also expected to be on the Chromebooks or the iPads or the MacBooks, it's just constant. So
for sure,
it's definitely something we could work towards as as another goal.
So if you could change, and I'll kind of leave this as our last question for the podcast today. If you could change one thing about social media, what would it be? Which is a hard question, because like not all social media is the same. They, you know, the different platforms all work a little bit differently and they all do slightly different things from time to time. But is there any one thing that you think, oh, this would make it a better experience, or this would help it not be so stressful or potentially as bad for your mental health?
I think it'd be kind of, this is kind of random. I think it would be kind of cool if there weren't like verified users, like if everybody, like that you couldn't see the following, you couldn't see like this person has this such, I mean, yeah, you can share pictures of what you're doing, and obviously there's going to be like celebrities out there that are doing much more glamour stuff than I'm doing here in Gaston County, but yeah. Like if there was no following number, there were no like number, like you can like and you can follow, but you can't really, that's not public,
right?
That way there's no constant competition on, oh, I have more followers than you. Oh, I have more likes than you. Like, oh, if I do this or act this way, if I copy this person, I'll get more likes or follows. Mm-hmm. Like there's no competition on, I have to look this way, I have to act this way. Like it'd be completely unnecessary. Everybody's equal.
Well, and that's not just like a teen thing. I remember going maybe a year or two ago to see Hasan Minhaj do stand up. And he was talking about how addicting that whole thing of like likes, and you know, he'll post something and it's like, oh, if I go hard after this person and make fun of this person, like look at all the retweets and likes and comments just into my veins. It's like a drug.
Right.
And it is. I mean, it's, you almost get a high off of the recognition or the satisfaction. And so it's like, that can be a really dangerous, addicting sort of thing.
Right. Like if you saw, like I have the same page visible to the human eye as like Taylor Swift, like I'm not gonna be like competing. Like everybody has like the same, like there's no competition, there's no like need to be more than you already are, because everybody's equal on social media.
Right.
I would have to agree with Autumn, because I feel like the basis of like social media, the way that it's so addicting, is because people want to get more followers, more likes and everything. And I feel like if that were to get rid of it, I feel like social media would be more positive.
I like this.
Yeah. So maybe like taking away the influencer side of it, like where you can get paid, which don't get me wrong, has its benefits and positives, and that's somebody's whole life and career. But if you take that aspect out of it and they're not, you know, they're not able to advertise products and make money off of it, that would sort of flow it back into just sharing information and sharing with your friends and back and forth.
Well, I want to thank everybody for coming in, for talking with us today about social media. I know that this is a really important topic, not just for teens, but for really everybody to better understand it when you're using it, and just some of the effects that it can have. Wish you the best of success continuing forward with TAC and the work that you guys are doing there. It's really important. And Lauren, if people want to get more information about TAC, about where to go in terms of checking out either your social media channels or your website and just all of that, where should people head?
Well, through Gaston Gov's website, you can search Teen Action Council, and we have our page there, as well as through Instagram. Our handle is Gaston_TAC. And like I said, it has all of our like up-to-date events, activities we've been doing throughout the year, as well as like our link tree to applications. We have gone ahead and opened the application for next year, and that'll run through May. So if anyone is interested in having a teen apply, we'd love to have you sign them up.
Do you have kind of a hard cap as to how many people you have on the Action Council, or is it just kind of depend?
Depends year to year. Usually we stay around 20. Okay. I think this next year we're going to stay at 15 based on a grant funding we're going to be adding to it.
Got it. Well, good deal. Well, thank you all for talking with us. Thank everybody for listening this week, and wish you the best going forward. Well, if you're listening to this, you're already a savvy citizen. But are you looking to know more about what's happening around Gaston County? From important meetings to key dates to intriguing events, we've got it all. Check out our 6 things to start your week, publishing every Monday on GastonGov.com and Gaston County Government's social media channels. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Savvy Citizen Podcast. It's produced by the Gaston County Communications Office with hosts Janet Schaefer, D'Andrea Bradley, Elizabeth McGee, and Adam Gobb. Joshua Braswell serves as executive producer, and Gavin Stewart serves as field reporter and producer. Please like us and share reviews on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and anywhere you get your podcasts.